Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I suppose most of you remember Willie Nelson's hit single, On the Road Again. I was going to sing it to you, but I decided why torture you right off the bat. But in Luke's gospel today, we meet up with two men that remind me of that song because they truly were on the road again, just after the Easter event. These two were on their way to Emmaus, even though they had been devoted followers of Jesus. But now, on Easter evening, they would fall into the category of ex-followers, for their dream had ended with the death of Jesus. We overhear their conversation. They're talking about their own personal disappointment in Jesus while they walk back to their village 7 miles from Jerusalem. These two disciples had been in Jerusalem for the Passover, and my guess is they had hoped to see adoring crowds calling for Jesus to be the new king of Israel. But instead, what they found when they arrived were angry crowds calling for his crucifixion. And the only crown they saw on him was a crown of thorns, and they saw him put to death on a cross. And so here they are on the road again, disillusioned, and returning to Emmaus on that first Easter evening. Now really, it is unclear whether these two particular disciples actually witnessed the death of Jesus firsthand, or whether they just heard about it because the news was spreading like wildfire throughout the city. But what is clear is they all knew about the events of the crucifixion, and they also knew about the claims of the resurrection. Now, they were obviously very close to Jesus. They were part of they knew his inner circle, the 12, and they also knew the women who had been witnesses to the resurrection. In telling their story, they say this. They say, "Some of the women of our company amazed us this morning. When they arrived at the tomb, they did not find Jesus' body." And then the two go on to tell the stranger that was walking with them that they believed the women made the whole thing up. For they tell the stranger this: "When the women did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen angels and that he was alive," implying that even though the women who went to the empty tomb were saying it, they just weren't buying it. And so they leave Jerusalem disappointed. There is no joy in their step. There is no laughter in their voices. With Jesus dead, they find themselves on the road again, looking for something or someone to believe in. For even though they knew all the facts of Easter, they lacked faith in the resurrection. They knew the story. They just didn't believe it. Now, what is sad and ironic about this story is that when you stop to consider that they were actually lamenting to Jesus about Jesus. For on the way to Emmaus, these two had met up with a man who asked if he could walk with them. And on the road again, they tell him their whole sad story. But what they didn't realize was this man was Jesus back from the dead. Luke says the two were kept from recognizing the Lord as he walked along with them. And there's a couple ways you can take this. Maybe God prevented them from identifying Jesus by mere facial recognition because God wanted them to discover Jesus and gain the certainty of his resurrection through the scriptures, just like you and I do. Or it may have been their own unbelief, their own bias against the possibility of a resurrection that kept them from recognizing Jesus. But in any case, the tragic part of this whole ordeal is that the risen Lord Jesus Christ himself is standing in their midst. He's right there with them the whole time. And so really, there is no reason for their disillusionment, their despair, their despondency, their dejection, their depression. And yet, until Jesus would open their eyes, these men can find little cause for rejoicing. Disheartened, they say, of Jesus, to Jesus, we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. But all hope disappeared when they crucified him. Now for us, Easter is over. And like these two disillusioned disciples, we find ourselves on the road again. Only we're not on the road returning to Emmaus after Easter, but we are returning to the routine of daily living. A routine that we know all too well often crowds Christ out of our lives. And I guess the question really is, from here, will we walk through life reveling in the redemptive cross and rejoicing in the empty tomb? Or will we find ourselves on the road again, talking the same despairing talk, walking the same defeated walk as these two men did on their way to Emmaus because they thought he was still dead? Ask yourself, are you living life with resurrection confidence? Where you can look death directly in the eye and say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? For my resurrected Jesus has given me the victory over you. Or are we living as if Christ were still dead and all our hopes had been buried along with him? What can you do if you find yourself on that road again so soon after Easter? I mean, we've just celebrated Easter, but what if you find yourself already doubting God and denying the power of his resurrection in your life? And you find yourself on that road again where you know the story of Easter, but you don't live like it happened. You will find yourself on this dead-end road again and again until you realize two things. Unless you learn to recognize that the risen Lord is among you, and that takes eyes of faith. And until you realize that the resurrected Christ is with you in his word and in his sacraments. Like these Emmaus disciples, there are times when we imagine that God is remote, removed, distant from our lives. And we fail to live as if the risen Christ is really with us, or that his resurrection really matters. What we often tell ourselves and others doesn't exactly reflect faith in a God who can raise the dead. Too often, our outlook on all of life reveals a certain disappointment in God instead of a lively trust in the risen Christ. As these two head for Emmaus, they find themselves going down that road of doubt once again. And Jesus reprimands them. He says, oh, foolish ones, How slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. For was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus would open the scriptures and interpret them, and he would show them all the things in the Bible concerning himself. Now, here's the big question for today. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus at that moment turn to the scriptures to convince these doubting disciples instead of simply just revealing himself directly to them? I mean, why did Jesus choose to reveal himself indirectly through the words and pages of the Bible and through the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Christ? For Jesus could have just as easily revealed his identity directly, just as he did with Thomas. He could have said, "Guys, here I am. Touch me, feel me. Look at the wounds in my hands and my feet, and examine the scar in my side." You know, most of us, I think, assume that if we were to see the resurrected Christ in person, that would be much more powerful proof than merely reading about the resurrection in the Bible. But our Lord obviously knows differently. In fact, I believe Jesus is teaching his church in this event on the road to Emmaus that the very same power that was at work in his resurrection is also at work in the word that is available to us. And though Jesus revealed himself to many after the resurrection and gave convincing proofs that he was alive and back from the dead, what I believe is Jesus deliberately chooses to enlighten these disciples through the word as the means of creating faith. Jesus does this because he wanted to demonstrate that the Bible is in no way inferior to encountering Jesus directly with the five senses. Because even though the risen Christ is physically standing before these disciples on the road to Emmaus, this is not what convinced them. It was not their eyes that convinced them. It was the word of Christ, which he explained to them, that had the power to convert them and to convince their hearts that he was alive, that he is alive, just as the word has the same power in your life. Now, once they reached their destination, Jesus acted like he was going to go on, but the two insisted. They invited Jesus to share a meal with them before he went on his way. And so when he ate at the table with them, we see Jesus take the bread, we see him bless it, we see him break it, and we see him give it to them. And those actions of Jesus jog their memory. They were so reminiscent of the Last Supper that they finally recognize Jesus through this meal. Luke's last words as he tells the story are, "Then they told what had happened to them on the road and how Jesus became known to them in this breaking of the bread." In the early apostolic church, that term or phrase, the breaking of the bread, was a name for the Lord's Supper. So just as Jesus had opened their hearts to see the scripture, So Jesus revealed himself to them in the breaking of the bread, that is, the Lord's Supper. You see, our risen Lord knew that he was not only going to be reassuring these two lonely disciples on the road again to disillusionment, but he knew that there would be generation after generation of Christian beyond this who would also need assurance, who would also travel the road of doubt and despair. Jesus knew that he would soon return to the Father, and that only a select few would ever be eyewitnesses to the resurrection. But he knew how many of us there would be who would be fortunate enough to be called to faith through his word. Jesus also knew that some of you would be slow to believe in his resurrection, to fully realize and grasp that victory in your lives. And so Jesus uses the very same means that he used on these Emmaus disciples, his word and the supper. The same word and supper are available to you. The word that's being proclaimed to you this morning, the sacrament, the supper that you will soon eat. These are the things that bring you hope and certainty of his love and of his resurrection power. Your risen Lord speaks to you this day through the word of Christ that is proclaimed to you. And your Lord is present among you this day in his body and blood in the meal we are about to serve you. And so the next time you find yourself on the road again, the next time you're headed down that path of doubt and disillusionment with God, my friends, study the word. Partake of the Lord's Supper. For this is the way that Christ ordained. This is the way he intended to bring you the certainty so that you could shout in joyous acclamation, "He is risen, he is risen indeed." And so away with gloom and sadness, for Jesus is alive. And he is among us in his word and in the sacrament. This message, this meal, are what can bring you joy and certainty and peace with God and forgiveness and hope and the promise of eternal life with Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.